The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Our period of waiting is over. This is the time.
It is February 1991. Neil Simon's Lost in Yonkers has opened on Broadway with a cast including an up-and-coming actor named Kevin Spacey. A French construction company is suing Robert Maxwell to block him from selling his share in a French television company to Goldman Sachs. You hear something about his socialite daughter, Gis, something. She's friends with that handsome financier. Well, never mind. A 4-cent rise is pushing the magazine industry toward peril, but you don't care too much about that other than the vague sense of foreboding it all gives you because, seriously, where are you? Your mom drove through the night, and when you woke up, you were just outside a house that could be literally anywhere on the North American landmass. You can't drive, and you have no idea how to find a bus schedule, so you can't find your way downtown or to a public library to try to piece anything together. If you have neighbors, you haven't seen them outside, and they all seem to park their cars in their garages so you can't even read what's on their license plates, you could have just asked your mom, but wait a second, you haven't seen her in days. Well, it seems like you're not going to solve this one today. Might as well just dance it out according to the literal step-by-step directions in your favorite magazine, which seems to be a newsstand copy your mom presumably got you because there is no address label on it, and you have not gotten any mail yet. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
The only piece of information I know about this new place they're in is that yes, they're in opossum time zone.
Okay.
Doesn't really help us any.
Yeah. I wondered if she might be in the state that is abbreviated PE in the TV show Severance, but didn't come up. So we will truly never know.
It's probably some sort of pocket universe situation. That's what I'm putting my money on right now.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the Reddit theories is that it's short for purpose of experiment.
Oh, I meant in Sassy. I don't care about Severance.
Oh,
I see. I haven't watched any of Severance, so I have no opinion of it.
No, and you won't, because I'm against it.
Yeah, I know. That's basically why I haven't watched it. If Tara watches the show ahead of time, and I'm like, absolutely not totally in the bag for it, it just never gets across my eyeballs. So
yeah.
Yeah, we are a Chromecast family, and there was no way to make the Apple TV appear on our television. So I watched the first season on my laptop, and then in absence of new morning show seasons, canceled my Apple TV Plus. The person I was going to, the people I was going to ask if they had access to the second season of Severance are you guys.
Right. Well, we'll talk about that offline if you're interested in checking it out. People seem to like it, other than me.
What now? Oh my God, what now?
Indeed.
What now is trending a little bit more towards the classic what now, a whole bunch of crazy shit, except they chose a very Kelly Green background this month, which is really at odds with lavender text, for instance. But we'll try to muddle through it. What now? Sassy glossary definition number 35 is dust. Verb meaning to get rid of, dump, usage. My boyfriend was treating me like dirt, so I dusted that troll at the prom. I mean, this is a pretty common thing. I don't think this is an outrageous one on the level of all the Australian shit they were giving us back in 89.
No. Yeah, it's no Groovox.
Ron Howard told us to eat his dust in that famous movie, Eat My Dust. And who is Sassy to change our minds?
That's right.
Another cool t-shirt tip is our lavender one. So I'm going to read this very carefully because it's hard to read. No doubt you've heard of the Dutch Dutch, is that right?
Yep.
Am I reading that?
Yep.
Dutch Rat Band, Urban Dance Squad. Why, of course. In the band's Deeper Shade of Soul video, the DJ is sporting a yellow t-shirt reminiscent of Charlie Brown's Zigzag Number. It happens to be at...
Just one of the many witty skate shirts from Club Homeboy. Do you want me to keep going?
No, that's fine. You can buy them at Club Homeboy if you could go back in 1991. So Tara put this in my color in the doc, I assume, because, of course, I had this shirt. Mm-hmm. As 78% of guys in 91 had. This is a shirt I wore to Lollapalooza.
Oh.
I'm not quite sure what year that was, but it was the year that Sonic Youth and Hole were like the headliners.
Mm-hmm.
It would be around this time. For
94
sure.
or 5, I would think. Or
no.
3 or 4.
Really?
Yeah.
That long
Hole
ago?
Didn't come out with their first album until 93.
Oh, okay. That was a time in our lives. I miss that time of fashion.
Yeah.
I know I've said this before, but mm-hmm. I really miss... the first wave, sticking it to the corporations with your garbage pail kids-esque take on their logo. Oh, yeah, Kraft? This hat says crap. And everybody knows it's supposed to say Kraft. It says crap, stuck it to you. Capitalism solved. Goodbye.
and we solved it, and everything's great now.
Thank you, fashion.
The item Moni and Shazzy comes to us from guest What Now writer Daisy. She went to an event. They did a store promotion at A&S Plaza in New York City. There was a fashion show, whatever. But she met Moni Love and up-and-coming homegrown sister Shazzy. This is all whatever, except she writes, Moni's one of the first few people I've met who's not embarrassed about digging Happy Mondays. I don't know why they would be. Or thinking Patrick Dempsey is the ultimate babe. Way ahead of her time. McDreamy was decades away at this point, or at least a decade and a half. So well done, Shazzy. They obviously did not plan this one very well, though, because the text gets super tiny right at the end. You almost can't make out someone being described as a scary clone of the completely ugmocious MC Search. Ugmocious should be our sassy glossary word, in my opinion.
Ugmocious.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that a Kylie Minogue song?
Yes, do the UGG motion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Up at the top of the next column, excitement for us John Cusack fans.
Woo!
Following his role in The Grifters, John stars next month in True Colors. He and James Spader play two guys who become friends in law school and then have problems with their friendship when it turns out they have different values. It's a film about ethics. And this movie is remembered by me mostly for being the movie I always think is the same as Bad Influence and isn't. Because that also stars James Spader. And secondarily, for being a movie that there are two VHS copies of in Jerry Seinfeld's apartment because it was a Castle Rock movie and they needed to fill out that shelf. And for some reason, that's what they did.
That's amazing.
Look for it next time you're watching a Seinfeld from this era.
Should I watch the actual movie?
I don't know if I've ever seen it. Bad Influence is great.
Is this where True Colors by Cyndi Lauper comes from?
Yeah.
They wish.
I see your influence coming through.
Guys, I have a question. What the little racist is up to now? Oh, that wasn't a question. What the little racist is up
to? I have a statement.
I have a statement of fact about what the little racist is up to now. A blurb about 22-year-old white Aryan resistance leader John Metzger that Catherine interviewed for the March 89 story.
Oh, that one. Young white racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Okay, got it. Just to place you in time.
Thank you. As a follow-up to the original article, so you might have talked about this more at the time, but I went deep down the Metzger rabbit hole afterwards and with the express desire to be like, my single issue question, and again, you may know this, was where does this intersect with American national politics? And surprise, it does, because the dad, Tom Metzger, ran for U.S. Congress in the Democratic primary in 1980. And so the way that this type of, because like, this was not like, this was not coded. This was not cute. Like they were like, we're the Aryan race. Mm-hmm. And they were still angling for top level positions in Democratic politics in the 70s and 80s. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Keep it light. then just one of these non sequitur remarks that's not really a blurb, it's just a line. I wonder what sweet little Baltazar Getty sees in that dirty old tattoo-covered Drew Barrymore.
What the fuck?
First of all, Baltazar Getty, who, considering that this is the same issue as, you know, all that oil talk in the Iraq story, like, let's think about where his wealth comes from, because probably not great. But it is funny to remember a time when, like, tattoos were a symbol of someone being, like, completely outside of society's rules. We talked about 90210 in the last episode. There's an episode in the first season where they go to Palm Springs and see, like, a, you know, a tough girl in her swimsuit, and she has a tattoo, and Steve Sanders is scandalized. Just to take you back to a time when everyone you know did not have a tattoo, except me and Dave. No tattoos, no COVID. Coincidence? Who's to say?
That's not a coat of arms.
That's right.
It's like a COVID needle and a tattoo needle crossed across the shield. Guys, I let you down. I really fucked up earlier, so I'm just going to retake it now. I'm not going to replace it, but we're going to get a second take on it. Here we go.
Okay.
Another cool t-shirt tip. No doubt you have heard of the Dutch band Urban Dance Squad.
Dutch boy, he works hard for your money.
All right, that's it.
Dutch band!
Dutch band, they all work hard for your monies.
For your guilders.
For your gift. Thank you. There you go. I was like looking up if it was Kroner to beat you to it.
I think I'm right. Right?
I hope you are, because that's, sure, that's a fun word, let me tell you. All right. Sorry about that, Dan. Continue.
Is this me? Oh, yeah. Poor Drew Barrymore, by the way. Like, I know that our, you know, official, I was like, ARC has moved to a new place on Drew. And
you think she has a lot of tattoos because her name is Drew?
I think so. But then, yeah, she got them in the past. They have been drawn.
Her brother blank, no tattoos whatsoever.
No tattoos. And then, I don't know, sleeve. So I think... And they all got washed off, and when she was walking through the rain on social media, I feel like the cleansing of Drew has been total since this, and we've recaptured and reclaimed her as a culture, because I'm offended by the one sentence in there. Zine of the Month. Groovy fanzine is produced by Jennifer and Christina, two American girls with very definite taste in music that is English or Scottish, independent, and popish. And when I first started reading this, to get myself back in the headspace of what a handwritten, printed zine that you have to, and I quote, get it, send 50 cents and a paper grocery bag to Jennifer in San Francisco, lasted for 2 seconds before I started pitching articles to the Groovy fanzine. It literally, I was just like, wow, how out of time and space. I barely remember. But the thing is, when XTC and Squeeze were first founded, they were basically the same band. So if you listen to their early punk stuff, then by the time you get into what each of their Sgt. Pepper era would be, which obviously was skylarking for XTC, and then maybe you're getting into your Babylon and On territory for Squeeze, they'd really diverged into separate kind. And then I was like, oh dear. So I was actually thinking of kind of sending that along to old Jennifer and Christine to see if they were hiring.
I have a question. Why do you have to send them a paper grocery bag?
I assume that's what they put it in.
So they just take your bag, tape it up, and send it back to you?
Yeah.
This is your non-
This is your envelope.
Your envelope? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, you can turn it inside out.
Crazy zine people.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Spam!
Spam. Every second of the day, 7.2 cans of Spam are produced by the Hormel Company, while 3.8 cans of Spam are simultaneously consumed
in like the
U.S.
This is like the deer from the last one. There's a Spam overpopulation problem, and only the Spam hunters can help us.
Let's see what the animal in its natural form running through the woods looks like. Oh, but you want to go hunt some whitetail Spam with me? I am out there.
Quick, pull the tab.
Oh, no, that's teriyaki. Throw out a quota.
Most of the other 3.4 cans are eaten in Great Britain and Korea, where luscious Spam is served as part of formal meals. And this really took me back to living in Hawaii and going to the Spam aisle, where there are so many varieties of Spam. you probably never know about if you don't go there.
Yeah, you know, when you go to the grocery store now and there's like that one sort of square of shelves that's like all the ketchup and all the mustards. Mm-hmm. It's like that, except it's like all the spams.
Yeah.
And it's just spam. It's not like spam-esque products. It's just like the 14,000 different types of spams they have. How much of the 8.3 cans that are consumed every second do you think in the U.S. are actually Hawaii? Because it's got to be probably half of that.
Well, it's 3.8. And yes, definitely. Yes, sorry, 3. Half 8. Or more. I would say 3.
Yeah. Yeah, they love spam.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Though living in the Pacific Northwest, have a all-Filipino in-law family, mm-hmm. including sure. parents who were born there, and then like 36 first cousins on the mom side. So mm-hmm. I have seen, I was like the rest of the other 0.8, if you're assuming that the right. 3 is a Hawaii native only, then I'm taking the rest of it. Mm-hmm. In my literal house, I had never engaged with spam until mm-hmm. 20 years ago when Eric and I met, and now I love it. So wow. I do not have any negative things to say about spam, and I eat it all the time.
Is it as salty as I think it is?
Yes.
How do you prepare it?
I fry it, uh-huh. and I eat it with white rice and nothing else, or white bread, or wrap it in a tortilla.
Mm-hmm. In Hawaii, the equivalent, you know, when you're like watching it at a British show and they're like talking about getting some sort of egg at the gas station, sorry, the petrol station, Scotch egg. Yep. Uh-huh. The equivalent in Hawaii is spam wasabi.
Yeah.
Which you can get like right at the counter just in cellophane. And it's kind of, it sounds almost like what you're talking about with like one other layer in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could get, have gotten. Yeah. And I will assume for the record, because she's so reliable and would never otherwise miss it, that I finally cracked why Pam was unavailable this week. She saw the blurb about spam and was like, I gotta go, assuming that the United Federation of Jollibee franchise owners would be coming for her after saying a single word about it. Not to dredge up ancient history, but just take a week. You wanted to go spend more time not talking about spam with your family. I totally get it.
Yeah. Have you ever invited her up and then like gone on a family excursion with Pam to Jollibee as sort of aversion therapy?
We're like, we can bring our whole spamily. I mean, what? Yeah, no. Yeah.
Cute band alert is about the Lemonheads, and there's a photo of just Evan Dando because, as Christina writes, the rest of the band weren't cute.
We're too ugly. So
they don't get to be in the picture. In fact, she writes, we spared you the others. Rude.
Wow.
You know, I don't have much to say about the Lemonheads in this year of 2025, but I will note the photo credit is to Jesse Peretz, director and I believe writer of Our Idiot Brother and several other movies. He is a Nepo hipster. He's the son of Marty Peretz, who a name you might know if you have, like me, watched Shattered Glass 5,000 times because he's a former publisher at The New Republic. Jesse is brother to Evgenia Peretz, who is a chronicler of Elizabeth Finch, the Grey's Anatomy fraud liar that we talked about in an earlier episode, wrote the piece that Anatomy of Lies is based on. So all of that in one teeny tiny little photo credit. Hmm. So funny where this magazine takes you.
Two
what
items.
A time. Yes.
One, do you think the rest of the Lemonheads are in the closet with Drew Barrymore? That they've locked him in and Sassy, the Uggos.
And they're then, ugmocious, I believe, is what you meant to say.
Would you?
Justine Bateman sighted with Taylor Dayne. All I wanted to say about this was Andrea and Daisy spotted them at the Betsy Johnson Spring Fashion Show. All of this seems to be saying that they're both rotten bitches, basically. And I don't know about Taylor Dayne. In the case of Justine Bateman, you know, look her up if you dare, what she's up to in 2025, because if you thought she was cool in Family Ties times, she's not. She's a bad person. Really got a lot of terrible opinions.
Like sitcom first cousin Kirk Cameron on The House Across the Street.
Finally, for our discussion of what now, sassiest boy in America plagued by idle gossip. Make it stop.
Seriously.
I'm so sick of hearing about this guy, especially since, I mean, I will say this item is about him having possibly lied about his age to enter the contest, which means, you know, his win is potentially invalid. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, fuck this guy. Stop talking about him. Is that why tell us the truth. You can't. It's the past. But, you know, I have theories.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
All right, watch it, watch it, diddly dee diddy.
Watch it.
Order.
Our hit this month, 5 stars, or dots.
I was going to say, we lost stars.
Five dots.
Five lonely orbs.
Five Star Trek The Next Generation rank pips for Edward Scissorhands. I don't agree with Christina all the time, but when she says Winona Ryder's styling in this movie is ass, she is right. You don't try to make Winona Ryder a blonde. She's not a blonde. She's not a blonde hair-wise. She's not a blonde in her soul. But since we're on the topic, I feel that way about Ariana Grande as well. Looks weird as a blonde. She is spiritually and hairily a brunette. Let her be a brunette. It's weird when she's not.
Hard agree. I also, for all of the pop culture that we were going for in the sassy days and overall sort of in the magazine world, I found this watch it to fall short of its appropriate cultural context, i.e. this movie came out after Pee-wee and after Beetlejuice. The era of the celebrity director was upon us. Say his name. Yeah. People would have known who Tim Burton was.
It was after Batman. People definitely knew who he was.
Yep. I see now where all the quiet was from. The Silence of the Lambs, which was given 4 dots, which again, let me go back to my key at the top. 5 was It Is Me, I Am It. And 4, as we know, a celluloid hootenanny. And what could better describe any film in cinema history that I would label as an uncontested celluloid hootenanny? It is Silence of the Lambs, a movie
Point of
that
order.
Tara.
I think this says hootenanny, not hootenanny.
It does say hootenanny, but I didn't know if that. Yeah, I was like, is that the accepted spelling for it? Am I supposed to say hootenanny? Yes, I didn't know if hootenanny was a separate word.
Yeah, this strikes me as Margie, who reviewed this, felt like she was supposed to like it more than she actually did, because for giving it 4 pips, I mean, she's almost totally negative in here. And I'm going to say also in some respects wrong. She says it's totally relentless, totally unrelieved by humor or normalcy or romance. Romance, sure. Humor, not true. It's very funny. It's not got a lot of funny parts. Come on.
It is more quotable than any comedy I saw in 1991.
Right. And one of her last critiques is, do we learn what makes serial killers tick? No, that's the point of the movie. Nothing makes them tick. They just do their shit. It's not that deep. That's what the movie is about.
Yep. It's all agonizing, she says, and there's no emotional payoff. You know where the emotional payoff was? At the Academy Awards.
Boom!
This movie did fine. Goodbye.
Yes, it did.
Click.
I walked with a zombie. I walked with a zombie. I walked with a zombie last night.
That song is called, do you want to guess? It's, of course, I Walked with a Zombie, covered by REM for Where the Pyramid Meets the Eye. This is one of those albums where a bunch of different artists cover music by one artist. I mean, I feel like the granddaddy of the genre was Red Hot and Blue, the Cole Porter album from a couple of years before this. But this one is an homage to Rocky Erickson, legendary yet obscure leader of the 13th Floor Elevators. They definitely are obscure because I've never heard of them. But Mike is giving this album five dots. I don't really have any opinion about it because I've never heard of it before, but I will just say the decline of society started when labels stopped putting out compilation albums like this because I loved them. The Carpenter one, also great. I'm going to count the I Am Sam cover soundtrack, too. Like, this is a fun thing to do, and I miss it.
Yeah, and the Fabulous Inverse, that, which I also discovered around the same time, was when new indie labels trying to break were putting out compilations of their new artists mm-hmm. on it, which was right about this time as well, where it was like a lot of those labels that went out of business and ruined their artists' lives. Amy Mann was where we were discovering who those people were, and it was like Amy Mann, a young upstart folk singer named Paula Cole, those kinds of people all like coming across the transom at the same time. So I completely agree. It was like the mixtapes were being made for you at a period in my life where I was very adept at making mixtapes.
Say that.
Oh, yeah. I actually have a playlist on my phone that is 80 songs and 5 hours long, just called High School Mixtape.
Love it.
And it encompasses every, I mean, obviously it goes into the future, like the latest song that I put on it ended up being after the turn of the century, just because I was, I don't know, still making mixtapes in college. What are you going to do? And there was no starting date on it, because not only was it super cool to go back to the earlier vintages of, like, if you're listening to Crowded House, then you're obviously going to put some early Split Ends on there to show your cool new wave cred.
That's right.
But even more than that, because you still couldn't take the choir kid out of me trying to be cool in high school, was that sometimes the songs got so old that once I put the Dies Irae from Mozart's Requiem on it. Sometimes you just need a 2.5 minute filler to go at the end of a side of a tape. Yep. That was the perfect one.
Oh my God,
and
love
so,
it.
I completely agree. It was where all of the music was coming from at the time. I will be happy to share that list. I put it away, except that I don't, and I listen to it all the time.
That sounded like some sort of farm that makes something you remember from a long time ago.
It does. In fact, that is Me by the Sea by Edie Brickell and New Bohemians from Ghost of a Dog, the follow-up to her huge success Shooting Rubber Bands at the Stars. Yes,
Stars.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say Sky. I owned this album. Thank you, Columbia House. I don't remember a single song on it. The review by Jessica, who gives it four dots, sort of says it has a split personality. It's some of this and some of that. Like, I'll take your word for it, because I definitely, none of these songs penetrated for me at all.
Here at Rogie Farms, we take celery. We put a whole bunch of sugar on it. We call it rhubarb.
We take our
the way Grandpa wanted you to.
We take our high school mixtape seriously.
We do things a little differently.
A little differently. 100% freshly squeezed. Squeeze. Listen. Justice for Shooting Rubber Bands at the Stars. As you said, I did, of course, have Ghost of a Dog. Thank you, Columbia House. What's funny is that the only snippet that I actually do remember on it is the song that Jessica references, Carmelito, which she refers to as the most appropriate thing that you could possibly call it, which is, and I quote, Mexican sounding, which it was. And she did the Carmelito. She said the word Carmelito in the same tone that they said the word Nicaragua on the one SNL.
Yeah. Enchilada.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the only one that I remember. But I think that the seeing this album reviewed here triggered a very dangerous like part of my brain where you realize that it's possible to talk about 1991 and still have pop culture elicit the reaction, this one was a little after my time. And it happened a couple of times, especially on the music tip, because they were already, I was just like, well, this was after the last great Sting album, sorry to say, like with all, I was thinking of the Veep where Jonah's on the blind date and he's like, let's both say our favorite Sting album at the same time, go, Soul Cages. And I was like, that is, and I was like, it's funny because it wasn't, like it was all right. I'm like, so then going back which I then did obsess on. Not only the, like, I wasn't listening to, like, number one song of the year, Gonna Make You Sweat, that often.
Right.
But then, like, combing back, especially through the alternative chart. Like I said, when I was a 14-year-old boy, I had some 17-year-old girlfriends. Mm-hmm. I got cool with the music tip. And going back through the college charts of 1990 and 1991 was a perfect snapshot of every song that I have ever and still love in the present day.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which,
I'd rather drink that toast to my own health. I think tonight I'd rather love myself. And if you drink that drink to your own health, I think tonight I'd rather love myself.
This is the song in my head that all your music sounds like.
It does. This is exactly what I love. I'll also say, I mean, in that track in particular, this is
I'm walking down the street. Who wants a sweet little boys and girls do?
This is Four Dots from Kim for Choke by the Beautiful South, the follow-up to their debut, Welcome to the Beautiful South, from, I think, the year before this. Spun off from the House Martins, who I also loved, and they sounded exactly like this, too. This particular track, which is called Tonight I Fancy Myself, goes to my grand unifying theory that anytime anyone makes anything that sounds vaguely like Motown in the 60s, it's a good song. Like, it's this. It's Hey Ya, any of the best, most catchy songs by Janelle Monáe, like, all of them have that in common. Sorry, that's just how I feel. I also went down a rabbit hole in this researching founding member Paul Heaton, who might be the actual most interesting man in the world. In May 2012, he set off on his 50:50 cycle tour of British and Irish pubs, promoting his latest album, British Pubs and Cycling. That's it. That's life. That's what existence boils down to. And then in February 2023, he and his crisp packet collection appeared on the Channel 4 documentary Grace and Perry's Full English. He's got a crisp packet collection. Like, I'm sorry, that's just cool. But yeah, this is extremely me-coded, this music. And I love this album. Sorry, Dave.
How is it possible that I have such a blind spot for the House Martins, with a combination of being alive at this particular time and then the separate part where I know you? Like, mm-hmm. I looked back to make sure that this is true. I know one House Martins song, mm-hmm. Happy Hour, which
oh, yeah.
I know because it was on a mixtape or in a movie or something like that. And yeah. I felt very, like, dislocated and floating through space when I was listening to their music, which sounds like everything else I was listening to at the time. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I was like really worried and feel like I need a very quick playlist from you about both House Martins and Beautiful South just to fill in the gap.
Can do.
Great.
We're skipping the Steve Winwood release, but I do want to tell you guys, I was trying to come up with a spoof of the song Valerie, mm-hmm. that was called Celery, and it was all about Dance Farm. Celery did it, sugary.
Rhubarb doesn't even fit into that at all.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
On the rhubarb I used to be. It means nothing.
This is from Third Eye by Red Cross with two D's and a K on cross. And an important thing to know about the band Red Cross is that they are not crisscross. And I know that now. And that's all I have to say. This is a 3-dot review by Jill, which is basically like, this is kind of boring. And I agree. One to watch. I'm going to say another whiff. This one is about Danny Way, sort of, but it seems like what happened was Christina kept calling and he never called her back. He is a skateboarder. He's 16. Christina writes that my friend Spike Jones says he's a big deal. So she decided to make him a one to watch and they just never connected. And there's nothing really else to say about him. So I had to do the research after this. In 2005, he jumped the Great Wall of China on his skateboard. Like, they built a special ramp and everything. He's still alive.
Is everybody worried that they're getting invaded again? Skateboarding Mongolians?
Probably. He's still alive. He's still a skateboarder. He's on Instagram. He's pretty cute in this picture. But, you know, what can you say? He's not in our world, really. Not one to watch, I'm going to say, Dave. You're the final
arbiter.
Never
heard of him. Yeah.
Never. No. Oh, really? Never heard of him?
No. Yeah, and he's no Tony Hawk.
No.
Although his last name is also a noun.
His last name is also sometimes found on road signs.
Yep.
Danger, Hawks.
Danger way. Oh, I see. Dave, I have a question about early 90s photo editing for you. Because it was in this photo, I thought about it a little, but it really made me go back and look at all of the ads with ladies. And a lot of them, as you know, featured women giving this look a lot. There was a lot of sides off to the side staring. And the amount of making sure that the whites of their eyes were only white makes them always look like the eyeballs are separated and disconnected from everything and floating off into actual space. Is that a current problem? Is that something that has been corrected at all? Because it was very distracting looking, seeing so many close-up fashion eyeballs of the 90s.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, Photoshop and Photoshop S things back in the day were like not super sophisticated. So there was only so many things you could do at this period of time. Like there was not a lot of like airbrushing-esque stuff. It was mostly just sort of like basic camera functions, like make it brighter, make it more brilliant, make the whites whiter, make the black blacker, you know, increase contrast or, you know, change the tint and stuff like that were most of the heavy tools involved. So yeah, I'm not surprised it got kind of heavy-handed use and you end up with children of the village, children of the damned sort of look to a lot of these.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Sassy probably did a lot of airbrushy stuff in their photos just because I don't think they had the money for it.
Like, no, but if you look at the page directly before this one, the ad, the gel ad on page 29,
that's airbrushed.
You can definitely see it in
about.
The ad. Yeah.
Yep.
I never noticed that before. Wow. What a good observation.
Yeah. Go to hell, Danny Way.
Only one pop culture feature this month. There is also an interview on the back of the Robert Smith poster, but I skipped it because, you know, who even has the posters anymore? I can't believe there was one in this issue. But anyway, moving on.
I wondered where that from the cover. I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that referring to?
Screw you, Robert Smith, and whoever made that editorial decision. Our one and only proper feature is Dance Like This. It's written by Daisy and Kim, and it literally is with a strip of photos and then verbal descriptions telling you how to do a dance move. So
it's a printed hoedown.
It's a printed hoedown.
It's what if TikTok was a book. Yeah.
Yes, it's like TikTok is a book. I can't believe this is how we learned to do things before online video. So Queen Latifah's backup dancers, Kika and Swatch, are walking you through this. And literally, like, it's like when we read the instructions for a making it project and are like, okay, this is where I tuned out. Do the safari strut. Put LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out on the stereo and pay close attention to the beat. Okay. You don't really need a partner to do this dance or any other one here. Now go to it. One, walk to one side, then step forward. Two, face front and cross your arms high, across your shoulders, looking tough. Three, this is tricky, and I'm out. That's where I would stop.
Fell down and cracked your head.
Yeah, this is...
We'll play House Martins at your funeral.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is how you did it, but it is so impossible to parse while you're actually reading verbal dance instructions. And not in the, like, what is that song? One time, two times. What song is that? What dance is that? The help me.
I know you're asking Dan.
Cha-cha slide. Cha-cha slide. That's what I was trying to think of. Guys, I haven't been to a wedding in a long time, okay? I forgot the name of the cha-cha slide, but that's what I was thinking of, where the instructions are in the song.
Yes, you must put them in. They have to be in the song.
Yes.
Putting them here. Yeah, it's like, what? Don't write the directions on the back of a poster.
No, to go back to the UGG motion, I mean, they're in that.
But what if they had a song that referred you to this article?
Now you're talking.
Now you're talking.
Sassy... and then it gives you the actual page. Now yes, exactly.
Make it a song. That's why it's a trusted, you know, mnemonic method. Make it singable.
And do the page 46.
That's right.
Which song from World Click, I don't know if this is more of a Pam question, was your mixtape selection? It wasn't Groove Is in the Heart, obviously.
I think it was World Click.
And World Click was the first song I ever heard by them, weirdly, because when they were on SNL, that was the first song, that was the first block song they played, and
old.
I freaked out. I was like, well, now what the living hell is this? So we went out and bought, that is one of the, there are like a couple of those CDs from that era that connect all three of the siblings at all three of our ages. Aww. And we went cuckoo crazy on that one. And for what it's worth, the answer, and there is a correct one, I'm afraid, is Try Me On, I'm Very You.
That was a good one too. Nearly yes, I like that
perfect
one too.
Album. Yes. Yeah. Almost skipped free. Anyway,
it's true, but and we talked about it when they reviewed the album a few issues ago. Like, Groove Is in the Heart is still untouchable.
True. Yep. And then they did, unfortunately, a lot of their, I'll call them Ghost of a Dog style follow ups. Like, yep. we kept buying them, but I can't remember any. There was one song about how you should wear a condom on one of their later albums, and that's literally all I remember.
That was the style at the time.
It very much was, yes. Everyone was cool with not getting AIDS. Did you have swatches separate? I said that swatch in the early 90s had a very different meaning for me because my fashion was fully just 900 Champion sweatshirts with just the C and every different color, pegged jeans,
right,
and at least 3 to 5 swatches on both arms all together going up at any given time.
I never felt like I could pull that off.
Yeah.
Peg jeans for sure. And the style at my high school, God help us all, was you safety pinned them on the outside.
Shut, really?
Yeah. Like visible safety pins.
Oh,
it made it a lot easier. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I eventually learned how to sew my pants so that they would be like narrower legged. But yeah, that's what they did.
Were all the swatches on your arms up and down set to the same time? Or was it like a newsroom where it's like Los Angeles, Paris, London?
That is the best question you ever could have asked. But unfortunately, when I was the age contemporary with this, the furthest place away I had ever been was a diner in a slightly different town. So I had no context for actually changing the time. Being 1 minute off would have been considered wrong and very triggering to my young OCD. So absolutely not.
All right.
But I would definitely, I would definitely do it now. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad you asked because there really was an answer.
Aww. One of the trials of living in the opossum time zone.
It's true. It's true.
Next time, we'll be talking about the fashion, etc., of the February 1991 issue. A fashion spread on what cool girls wear to work. Everything you need to know about dyeing your hair. Karen tries out the products advertised in those sketchy fractional ads, and more.
You can follow us on Blue Sky. We're at listentosassy.com. Tara Ariano's there. Pamela Ribbon's also there. Dan is nowhere to be found. As we mentioned before, he's hiding, and you're like running down the road, and he pops up in front of your car. He's like, it's me. That's his social media. Support us on Patreon. It's $5 a month. Gets you a whole bunch of perks. Chief among them, of course, is the PDF of the whole damn issue, save the fucking Robert Smith poster, which with walnuts, right?
Yep, that's
fuck
right.
Fuck that guy. Yep. I don't know what we're doing. Yep. And go to listentosassy.com/club for more info and to join. And don't forget to rate and review us on the podcast app of your choice. We're asking for 32 stars this week.
Oh, wow. It's
a lot. Well, you know, inflate because of the tariffs.
Right. And also, don't forget, call us. You can call us at 720-SASSY-GO. You can record yourself right in your browser at listentosassy.com/hotline. Leave us a voicemail about truly anything on your mind. We may play it on a future slumber party episode. The next one will be here before you know it. So get your calls in. And speaking of that website, listentosassy.com is where you find information about the podcast, links to the visual aids, contact info for all of us. It's all there. Thank you for listening, Dan. Thank you for sitting in for Pam. We'll miss you.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. That was super fun.
Love you. We love you, Pam. I mean, Pam. Love you guys.
See you next time.
I see now where all the quiet was from.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.